following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 12th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots to get to on the show today. More transfer portal information for Auburn, some additions, some subtractions, and some hopefuls, I think it's a good way to put that. Plus, we'll look around a little college basketball. The 2025 football schedule has been released for Auburn and everybody around the SEC, so excited to look at that for what I think is a tough but manageable schedule for Auburn in 2025 and what is a crucial season for Hugh Freeze in 2025 and year three for him. So a lot of that conversation today. Plus, we're going to have Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. He will be with us coming up in hour number two. No Brad Law today. We'll pick back up with him next week. And so here in the studio with me on a Thursday, not typically on a Thursday, but he is today with the subtracted one guest and wanted him to come in. And you're around the office because of the Christmas party we've got later on today. Christian Griffin, voice of Lee Scott, with us. What's up, my man? How are you?
What's up? I know we talk about usually having some sort of weekly schedule or whatever, but it's about to just become Monday through Friday at this point. I mean, it'll be more surprising for everybody listening if Christian isn't on the show.
Sure.
On Monday.
At this point, that's kind of where we stand. I mean, and right now, though, there's so much happening and there's so much going on that it's great to have as many people as we can, whether it be us in the studio or guests on the air and callers calling in and people texting in. I mean, there's so much to go over. This is one of those times where a two-hour show just doesn't seem like enough because you walk out and you're like, oh, I meant to talk about this, or I meant to cover this, or, man, we didn't even get to that today. Like, that's just how it goes sometimes. And so we're going to do our best to get into everything that we can. We'll open up the phone lines coming up in just a little bit, but you can send us a text while we wait, 334-784-1067. That's the text box number here for On the Line, 334-784-1067. Your thoughts on the transfer portal so far. Also, your thoughts on college basketball that is picking back up this weekend. The schedule release, we'll get to that in just a little bit, too. We want to hear from you, 334-784-1067. And Christian, let's start with the hot topic right now is the transfer portal. Auburn had a couple of guys on campus yesterday. Malik Murphy, the Duke transfer quarterback, and also Eric Singleton Jr., the Georgia Tech receiver. A quarterback is on campus again today. Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma is on campus for Auburn this afternoon to visit and talk about the quarterback spot. And let's start with Malik Murphy because he had some comments earlier that said his visit to Auburn went very, very well. Checked a lot of boxes for him here on the Plains. Your thoughts on what he had to say and just overall with his visit here to Auburn yesterday?
I think it was a big time target for Auburn, even going back to last year, right? When he was leaving Texas and ended up going to Duke, Auburn had a lot of interest in him, but he chose the Blue Devils. But, I mean, has all the talent in the world. We talked about his stats. Was it on Tuesday that we mentioned it? Threw for 27 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. But, again, six of those came in two games. And so that Duke team, I guarantee if you ask 95% of the general population, they would not have told you that the Duke Blue Devils went a silent 9-3 last year with Malik Murphy leading the way.
Yeah.
And so having somebody like that, even being interested in the program, seeing everything that Auburn and Coach Freeze are building, obviously a quarterback loving spot if you're looking at the receiver position as well. He talked about it, as you mentioned, checking a whole lot of boxes for Auburn. And not that I'm surprised with it, but I would not have been too surprised. I know, again, today you're hosting Jackson Arnold, but if you made it to where Malik Murphy almost couldn't walk off campus without silently saying yes.
And that's what everybody talks about with the first visit in the transfer portal. That's become a really big conversation, at least around here this week, because that is the... that's the new narrative. That's the new motto, the new slogan, the new mindset, ideology is if you don't have the first visit, you're in trouble. I don't think that's 100% the case, but I do think you have the advantage if you get that first visit. And Auburn not only had guys on campus yesterday, you have the LSU transfer receiver CJ Daniels is on campus today. You have a Northwestern offensive tackle Josh Thompson is on campus today. How about the safety Zachariah Poyser is on campus today from Jacksonville State, who just lost their head coach. He is going back to West Virginia. A lot of people have some thoughts on that. Yeah. We can get to that in a little bit. There's a lot of coaching carousel things we can get to.
UNLV picked up a big time hire.
Yeah,
well.
North Carolina, which we've yet to talk about because that went final late Tuesday night and officially. Yeah. Yesterday, and he was introduced today. Bill Belichick going to North Carolina. More on that later in the program. And also, a defensive tackle is on campus today as well. Dallas Walker from Western Kentucky and Texas A&M, the two-time, now a three-time transfer, is on campus. So I was talking with Doug earlier on the Max Roundtable, and the best way that I can describe it is, if you're looking to put a positive spin on Auburn not being in the playoff or being in a bowl game, it's the fact that you have one responsibility. And I think you and I may have talked about this on Tuesday, where you have one job if you're Hugh Freeze right now, and it's get in the portal and find as many players as you can to fill the gaps that you need in this roster. And just looking at the guys who have been offered or visited or both, that's exactly what Auburn is doing. I mean, they've talked to running backs. They've talked to receivers, offensive and defensive linemen, cornerbacks, safeties, quarterbacks. I mean, they've talked to everybody that they possibly can, and they're just trying to get their hands on as many of them as possible.
And, I mean, again, that's exactly what you have to do if that is your sole goal right now, because you don't have a football game coming up, and so obviously that's a con. But, again, a pro of it with the calendar of how everything around Christmas time and the month of December and even early January is so compact and almost, I mean, I don't think it'll be too long until there's some sort of changes that are made. But for right now, with that being your number one concern, I don't think it's too long until you see, because you're starting to see names find their homes, right? But you haven't really heard anything big from Auburn other than a couple guys that are leaving that are fong-bombed to different homes. But I don't think it'll be too long until you start seeing some finalizations with an Auburn logo next to a couple big-time players.
Is there somebody right now in your mind, whether they've visited or been offered or nothing at all? I mean, is there a name or two in the portal that you think Auburn just has to go get? I mean, is there somebody out there right now that you feel Auburn just can't afford to lose? And again, whether they're in the stakes for it or not, I guess it would make more sense if they are in the running for it. But are there a couple of names, Christian, in your mind that Auburn, I mean, for the success of the team, or you think would give Auburn a better chance next year, are there a couple of names that you just feel this team can't miss out on?
I think it's a couple of the guys that are on campus right now. And I think it goes back to what you're talking about with how important it is to get the first visit for some of these guys. It feels so weird because you're used to thinking about having almost playing defense a little bit. You know, when you think of college overtimes, you don't want to be on offense first. You want to be on defense first, so that way you can hear or you can see what everybody else has done. You know if you need to kick a field goal or if you need to score a touchdown. You would think that would kind of be the case with the transfers. You get to go, you know, let them go to their school, and then all of a sudden you get to hear everything, and then you get to come to a decision or whatever. But now, with the transfer portal, and the class that you're trying to bring in through there, you're trying to get guys on campus and not let them leave without saying yes. I think Eric Singleton is the guy that has just as much interest in Auburn as you have in him. Again, the Georgia Tech receiver, the number one player in the portal right now. With losing Keandre Lambert-Smith, with losing Caleb Burton, losing a couple other of those guys, having somebody like this that can come in and immediately impact the offense, sitting at 5'11", 190, a speed guy, but can go up and just win you ball games. Adding to that depth in the wide receiver room, I feel like is so, so huge.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that will help you get a quarterback in the portal. Because Doug brought up a good point earlier when I was talking to him about, man, it's got to be tough for Auburn to sell a quarterback right now because of the lack of concept, the lack of that term proof of concept with Hugh Freeze. And I took it a step further, and I've said just Auburn in general, yeah. Right? I mean, who is the last quarterback that came to Auburn and got better during their careers? Radio silence. Exactly. I mean, it's been a long time, and we've gone down that road, and I'm not going there today, but my point still stands. Auburn has not developed a quarterback in ages. We're talking over a decade since somebody has walked on this campus as a quarterback and gotten better by the time they left here. Not when they went somewhere and got better, not to the NFL.
We've seen that a couple times.
We've definitely seen that several times. And so that narrative follows Auburn like a bad stench on a jacket you haven't washed in a month. I mean, it really does follow Auburn around, and other programs use that as ammunition, and if they don't, they're idiots, because I 100% would. If you have the opportunity to get Malik Murphy or Jackson Arnold or Caden Salter on campus before or after they go and take a visit to Auburn, you got to play a little dirty nowadays. And you've got to use that as ammunition to say, do you want to go there where quarterbacks have gone to die? Or do you want to come here where whoever I am and whatever program we are, here's our success rate in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about playing dirty. You had Coach Freeze talking about how there were other schools that were saying that he was going to have to step down due to health concerns or health reasons.
That's a little wild.
Trying to flip everything. But again, you're just mentioning that when you're trying to do anything you can to get guys, if it's, hey, let's take any names out of anything. Look at our system with any name at quarterback that's plugged in. Look at the stats and look what they've been able to do versus look at what the Auburn quarterbacks have been able to do over the past decade, as you're mentioning. Which one sounds a little bit more desirable?
Yeah.
And it plays a very big factor. It takes a lot of trust if you are going to make that trip and make that decision to commit to Auburn, being it just because there's still so many question marks with that position.
But at the core of this entire discussion and argument that we're having is Hugh Freeze has got to develop somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, quarterbacks have to get better here, and they have to believe that, they have to know that, and that has to happen. Like, it has to come to fruition. You cannot survive as a high-level football program, and for Auburn's sake, try to get back to a high-level football program, if your narrative is quarterbacks go there to die, and you have to get rid of that. And Malik Murphy could be the one to break that trend, or Jackson Arnold, or Caden Salter, or I still believe it. Daryl and I disagreed on this yesterday, and I could be wrong if one of these guys ends up coming to Auburn, but I still believe there's a high possibility that Auburn's starting quarterback for 2025 is not on the roster, has not signed, and is not in the portal right now. I still believe that's a high possibility. Daryl disagreed. He said because of the direction that it has gone with Malik Murphy, and that very well could come true. But somebody's got to break the trend. And whether that's Hugh Freeze as a coach or you just go find a super talented player, right? We've seen Auburn bring in a couple of dudes who were just good. Cam, Nick, Stidham even. But yeah, he regressed. He regressed in his time at Auburn. Bo Nix was good when he got here, but never got better. His best year was a freshman, was 2019, when he beat Oregon in the opener, when he beat Alabama as a freshman. That was his best season in an Auburn uniform. He then goes to Oregon and he sits in New York for a Heisman Trophy ceremony. He never thought about winning a Heisman here at Auburn. And so something has to change. And whether that is Hugh Freeze stepping back and taking that GM role like we've talked about and truly bringing in a quarterback coach, a quarterback guru, right? We love to throw that word around all the time. Something has to change. And it very well may be a combination of all those things. But at the end of the day, in terms of right now with the transfer portal, you've got to go get a starter at the quarterback spot because Auburn does not have that yet.
To be fair, over the past decade, you haven't necessarily had guys on the ends to throw the football to that help the case for these quarterbacks.
That's fair.
As well.
Or the offensive line to protect them.
Right. And so you're throwing, as we should, you're throwing a lot on the quarterback position. That being said, every once in a while, having somebody to where you don't make the perfect throw and you hit them in the face mask and the guy can go up and still make a grab 50-50, obviously can make a quarterback with confidence and everything turn them into a decent quarterback, into a good, or a good into a great, or even a great to elite. I think you're getting those pieces now on the edge to where a quarterback can make that step at Auburn. And so I think that's why Eric Singleton, that number one player in the portal, when you go back to talking about what's somebody or who is somebody that you need if you're Auburn, being able to pair Malik Murphy and Eric Singleton together to where they both have complementary interests at Auburn. I play college football, EA College Football 25, and complimentary visits are one of the best things you can do if you're playing in your dynasty.
That's, I mean,
they, and that's one of the things that they did right here. So if you get somebody like that, like Eric Singleton, make it to where it makes everything more attractive to where it's not all on the quarterback. You now have Cam Coleman, you have Perry Thompson, you have Bryce Kane, you have possibly an Eric Singleton Jr. Makes everything a whole lot better. Then you throw in the great running back room, the offensive line, and the defense that's still so young that's going to continue to get better. I think it makes Auburn really attractive.
All great points, as the transfer portal is wide open for Auburn right now. Several visitors on campus as we speak, and we'll discuss that as we go along today. I do want to talk this coaching carousel when we come back. It is wild what's happening in college football. That's coming up next as we're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. You guys, you have one more broadcast for basketball before the new year. Is that right? I think you have a games. What, you have broadcasts this Saturday?
Is that right? Yeah, okay. We have. Yeah.
It's not a tournament or anything, right?
No, it's at home. The Warriors, actually, they play tonight as well.
Yeah, Auburn High plays tonight, that and Montgomery.
But we play in Lynette, but again, the Christmas party. But no, the Warriors do. They have Alabama Christian at home on Saturday, which should be a pretty solid
game.
They're
pretty solid, right?
They are, yeah. The Warriors both won, playing fantastic basketball right now. Both winners in four straight. I mean, I've talked about it throughout the year where the boys team especially, they don't want to run half-court sets. They want to just get out and run, and they've won every track meet. The girls really, really beginning to find themselves on the hardwood. Coach Corey Harrison has done a fantastic job. She says that it's the youngest team that she's ever coached, but again, this team is beginning to find their way. Clark Ivett kind of leads the team as a freshman, averaging right around 17 points and 7 rebounds a game. But so many other players finding their footing as well. Both teams have won four straight. And they started out 1-0 in area play as well. Again, this is Lee Scott's first year in the AHSAA. So their first ever area game, they beat Beulah big in the girls' game and in the boys' game as well. So definitely looking forward to getting to that new year where you can continue to play some of those area games, because although the other ones make you feel good if you're able to collect some wins, the area games are really the ones that really, really matter.
Auburn High, on the other hand, they are in action tonight down in Montgomery. But yes, we do have our company Christmas party. Looking forward to that later on this evening. I am done with broadcasts until the start of the new year. Auburn and Lee Scott are both going to be in the Reindeer Rumble over the Christmas holiday. It's a little bit more difficult for us to make those things possible. And so my next broadcast will be for Auburn and Central on the road on Friday, January 3rd to kick off area play. So looking forward to that. Going to be a lot of fun. Okay. I do want to get into the coaching carousel, right? That's the term that's used, and I don't think carousel is accurate anymore. I think carousels move too slow, Christian. I think it's got to be a coaching, I don't...
Catwalk.
Yeah, a coaching horse race? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know a good term. What's a coaching roller coaster? I don't know. I don't have a good term for it.
It kind of is at this point to where it really does feel like a roller coaster.
I have other words that aren't clean for radio, but...
But, I mean, it's turned into a roller coaster this year, to say the least, to where, I mean, you're having guys come out of retirement after winning Super Bowls to go coach in the ACC.
So crazy, man. We have yet to talk about it. It's probably the biggest news of the coaching offseason side of things. Bill Belichick, the multi-time Super Bowl winning coach of the New England Patriots when Tom Brady was there, has, yes, come out of the... not the booth, but I guess out of the media side of things, off the Pat McAfee show.
I was going to say, off the Manning cast.
And is now the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. There's a lot of reactions here, right? There's some people that say, what the heck are you doing, North Carolina? Others are saying, that's a home run because of the name, and you're going to get guys because of it. There's so many ways to go with this. It's just weird to me. Like it just feels weird. I'm not saying bad weird, but not necessarily good weird either. It's just like it's weird. And yeah. And you saw him introduced today. They gave him his classic hoodie that he wears with the North Carolina logo on it. He says he's going to run it like an NFL program. They're paying him $30 million for a 3-year contract, $10 million a year. I don't know where that ranks with highest paid coaches in college football, but I know it's up there. It may be the number one paid coach now per year, and I don't know if that's guaranteed or not. I also have seen some crazy numbers with the NIL contributions that are coming for North Carolina. That was part of his negotiation, was I need more NIL money, and they got it. From what I saw, they tripled, if not quadrupled, the NIL money that they're going to be putting into the North Carolina football program for Bill Belichick, the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels.
If you look at the highest paid college football coaches in 2024, he would rank tied for fifth in that. Kirby's first at over 13 million. Jeez. Dabo is 11. Sarkisian is 10.6. Lincoln Riley's just above 10. Ryan Day is just above 10. And then there's a couple right in there at 10 even right now. So he would fall right into that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guess tied for 6th in the highest paid college football coaches. And
do you like the hire?
I don't know, because it's almost, again, it's, you hate to say the word weird over and over again, because it's somebody that's been so successful at the next level to where you think, like, is this really going to work out? Especially when he comes in with the mindset of, I'm going to run this like an NFL program. That being said, what have we talked about all year, to where college football has become the minor league NFL team? It's become the triple A NFL, if you will. And so, if he's able to run it like an NFL program to where he's not in charge of NIL or having to deal with any of that, and he can still perform that same role as he was in the NFL, which I'm sure was very much talked about, because he doesn't want to come in and have to sit there and talk to 18-year-old kids about, I want more, it's week 7, because that's something that doesn't happen in the NFL, right? And so if he's able to get the guys around him that can do all of those things, and he can be the one to run it on the field like a program or like an NFL program, then I think you could see success. That being said, with this NIL era, you haven't seen somebody with that kind of, I was going to say jump up or jump down, but you haven't seen it at all, especially when it comes to success. So definitely, definitely going to be interesting to see.
Important to note that North Carolina does have a general manager of football operations. They do have somebody in that position in terms of handling a lot of that. So maybe he is just the head coach, and he just coaches ball, right? See ball, get ball, no ball, do ball. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what it is. But I want to keep talking about this, plus other coaching hires at the head coaching position and some big-time coordinators that have moved around as well. More on that, plus schedule talk as we're halfway through hour number one.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you on the show today. 334-321-1390. You can always text us on the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. We're going to talk more coaching changes. We're going to talk scheduling, more transfer portal things. And believe that's what this guy wants to talk about. Spectre, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, Jacob, I'm sorry I missed your first half hour, but hopefully I ain't repeating anything you already said. But the quarterback room is basically empty except for White. And
correct.
Deuce is coming in. We're worse off now than we were in 23 as far as the quarterback room goes and offensive line. You know, what's going to have to happen here before they even think about signing anybody, including that Georgia Tech guy? They're going to have to get another coordinator, and I don't know if they need to get an offensive line coach or not, but I don't know that much about him. But from what I see from the offensive line, I think we need another one. But those need to be addressed before any recruits even think about coming here. They may think, you know, that I don't like that recruiter. I mean, not recruiter, but that offensive coordinator, and may not want to come to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that needs to happen. You know, Coach Freeze, I mean, he's got his back slammed against the wall. He's done painted himself into a corner. And, you know, if he ain't got no choice, you know, I mean, last year he didn't want to pay $1 million for a quarterback. Well, I tell you what, bud, he may end up spending $2 million this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, he needs to go out there and get one, and get one that is proven. And they need to invest this guy really good, unlike they did Peyton Thorne. And I have no answers about what quarterback they should go after. We have to wait to see after the playoffs are over, see who jumps into the portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not too happy about this guy from Duke. I mean, like I heard earlier that he's on his third. This would be his third university.
Yep, third school in 3rd years. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, if we got a questionable offensive line, he may not be able to do squat.
Well, that's a big part of it, too. And Auburn's got a big offensive tackle from Northwestern on campus today, which is good to hear. But I think you make a lot of really good points, Spectre. Great to hear from you. Appreciate you calling in. And I say this, yes, it's repetitive, but there's still so much to talk about that's not in a bad way by any means. So we appreciate you calling in, Spectre. And he brings up a point about the offensive coordinator, right? Derek Nix for Auburn. Is it weird that there hasn't been a whole lot of conversation with a change at that spot? I mean, nobody's really talked about we should move on from Derek Nix, or maybe his role should change, or Hugh Freeze should have more or less responsibility. And I think that goes back to something you and I have highlighted on the show, and Uncle T-Bone, too, when he's in here, is who did what? Whose role was what? Who called plays? Who game planned? Who was the decision maker? Who was the end-all be-all? Who was the guy at what times during the season? And I think that's why, as crazy as it sounds, Derek Nix has kind of been out of the spotlight. You could ask, I would be willing to bet, and this is nothing against Auburn fans, I'd be willing to bet you could ask a third of the fan base who the offensive coordinator is, and they wouldn't be able to tell you who. Because he's been so under the radar during his time here, which I don't think, and I say this, I don't think that's a good thing.
No, and again, it goes back to if you ask that same third who called the plays,
nobody knows if it was
Freeze or if it was Derek Nix. And so it depends on if Auburn had a successful week or not, who was the one that kind of got a little bit more credit for the offense looking good or looking bad. And so, it's a very interesting topic of conversation.
Everybody knows who the defensive coordinator is. Everybody.
As you very much should. But, it's weird when you're sitting there looking at, you know, this is who we need at quarterback. This is who we need running the offense. Who's the one that runs the offense for the quarterback?
Exactly. I mean, I'm with you. And I just think that, and that kind of hit me when Spectre was talking right there. it's just weird that that conversation hasn't really come up. And I'm not a fan of just rolling through coordinators until you find the right one. And just look, Auburn struggled with that big time going back to Bo Nix. That guy was here for 3 years, and he played for a new offensive coordinator every single season. Like, no, you're not going to be successful that way. But at what point do you look in internally and say, okay, maybe we need to make a change and go find somebody? And I say that to loop back to the coaching conversation, because I think one of the best young offensive assistants is leaving Bloomington to go to Los Angeles, California. Tino Sunseri, the quarterback's coach at Indiana, who helped go get Curtis Rourke, who I think should have been in the Heisman conversation, who helped Indiana get to a college football playoff, who helped Indiana have conversations with Juju Lewis. He is now going to be the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at UCLA. That's a fantastic hire. For anybody that knows college football, that dude, I'm telling you, he's going to be a head coach very, very soon. I put him in the same category as a Kenny Dillingham, who is now the head coach at Arizona State. And, of course, they're a playoff team as well.
Yeah, it's one of those people that you talk about if what we've talked about, the conversations of taking the GM role for Hugh Freeze and almost going and getting somebody that plays as that head coach role but has the title of offensive coordinator, right? Somebody of those, one of those big names that controls the day-to-day on the offensive side of the football. Somebody like that taking such a big jump, you're going to continue to see more and more of them, especially at, by no means is Indiana a smaller school, but a school that wasn't necessarily in the limelight. Then all of a sudden they get the success, and they're a big-time credit for it. You're going to see so many of those coaches that are in those smaller programs take such big steps soon. And so at what point, if there is a point, do you move on, or is it a 1-2 combo running this offense for the future?
And you've seen it become very, very popular for former head coaches to take coordinator roles. Gus Malzahn left UCF as the head coach and will now be the new offensive coordinator at Tallahassee in Florida State. You saw Brian Harsin, who has been fired from Auburn for 2 years, has been paid to sit around and do nothing and drink his coffee to the winners on Sunday mornings. He's now the offensive coordinator at Cal. I mean, I think that is an option, too, that Auburn should consider if Derek Nix does not work out. Here's the problem, though. If Derek Nix doesn't work out as your offensive coordinator, that means Auburn has had another bad season in 2025, which means Hugh Freeze probably won't be here, and you're going to have to wipe out everything anyway. A lot of people would like to see DJ Durkin be considered for that head coaching position. That is something we hopefully don't have to address further down the road. But Auburn's in that spot where if there are no conversations about the offensive coordinator changing, which I have not heard a single thing about that.
Not a single thing.
Then you've got to go get somebody and a difference maker at the quarterback position. And it seems to be down to two big names right now with Malik Murphy and Jackson Arnold. Murphy from Duke, Arnold from Oklahoma. And the fan base seems to be kind of split, seems to be leaning a little bit towards Malik Murphy compared to Arnold. But I'm still in the camp of, I think there's a high possibility it's option C, none of the above.
And it's still somebody that hasn't necessarily
entered
yet.
Because what if they're on a bowl team? What if they're in the playoff? What if they're a backup on a playoff team? Somebody we haven't even thought about or named. And I want to go through.
So Arch Manning is on your...
there were talks of Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a legitimate conversation and still could be.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, depending on how Texas does in the playoff, what if they let Clemson come in there and beat them in game one of the playoff? And Sark walks in, sits down Ewers, and says, look, man, we appreciate your service, but Arch is the future
Manning,
here.
Manning will be the quarterback next year.
You're telling me Quinn Ewers is going to stick around to be the backup in Austin? Heck no. And he'd be the biggest name in the transfer portal at the quarterback position. I'm also, if it is down to Murphy and Arnold, I'm in the minority. I like Jackson Arnold. I think he is a better option than Malik Murphy. I think he's more proven. I think he's more experienced. I think he takes care of the football better. And Bill Cameron and I were talking in passing the other day, and he made a really, really good point that people that point at Arnold's numbers this year that aren't overly impressive, Bill made a great point. He said, what would you do as a quarterback? How would your numbers look if your top five receivers on the year were out and injured, and you did not have them for the majority of the time.
Well, it's exactly what I talked about with Jackson Arnold and how if you're just sitting there watching the game, or you're not watching the game, you look at the final score and you look at the end of the year and you see Oklahoma as a middle-tier SEC team going 6-6, you don't necessarily think much of them. Or you sit there and think, okay, this man led a team that was average at best, but then all of a sudden, again, you make that deeper dive and you're sitting there going, he had a beat-up offensive line, he had receivers that hadn't really played snaps at all in college football yet, and you're the one that's having to throw to him. 6-6 might not have been too bad with the cards he was given.
Arnold?
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, they played the two quarterbacks, and they went, you know, the younger route there towards the end and things like that, and injuries and all that played a factor into it as well. Let's get to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390. Ed, you're on the line. How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. I was just going to comment on a couple of things.
Sure.
First thing, I still think, do y'all not think that after the bowl games and everything that there might be, I still think that Auburn might be better off getting one quarterback in the early signing period and wait until after everything for the other guy, because I feel, I mean, what if Quinn Ewers just comes out, you know, and says
I see what you're saying. You're saying
somebody like that.
Yeah, you're saying get one now
get
in
your
December and then go and wait till post spring in that portal window to get somebody.
Yes, sir. I floated that past Doug yesterday, and they had somebody come and said no, that they had heard that they were going to go ahead and take two, and I guess you could always take an extra one, but I think
these coaches and programs have put themselves in the mindset of if we don't get one now, we may not get one at all, and they're so worried about that they are pressing. But I get your point, and I think it's a strategy that some programs will probably follow.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to say, and everything changes so quickly right now with college football, but I really think, you know, the Bill Belichick thing, college football, you're going to have somebody as your general manager type, somebody to kind of take care of a lot of stuff that if you really want a head coach to do a good job, he all his time needs to be done on coaching. Recruiting and such, but you need somebody as a general manager.
I agree.
You know, I just think that's what we're going to see. We're obviously going toward a kind of like a pro model or whatever, but I think you'll see everybody. And then that guy, you know, it could be like, you could see Nick Saban doing that again for Alabama.
Yeah.
You could see, back in the day, you could have seen Pat Dye when he became athletic director. Was kind of like that. But I just think that's going to be a very, very – and let's face it, it's big business, the college football. And the other – college football is just a small NFL now. And the other thing that I was going to say is on the college football playoff – I agree that the SEC and what is the Big Ten, it shouldn't – they'll learn from this year, but there should be some kind of equity, you know, in playing in a league where you play the people that you do in those two leagues. But anyway, guy, I'm sorry I'm out of breath. I'm trying to move some stuff.
No,
but,
you're fine. You're fine,
anyway,
Ed. We appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all taking my call, man. I'm going to listen to y'all and War Eagle.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ed. And yeah, I think you make a lot of good points, especially with the general manager thing. I'm with him. I feel that's a growing trend in college football, especially because these coaches talk, they're friends. And for the ones that have one already, I think the word will get out that it it will be helpful. It will be nice. It will be a luxury to have that. And yeah, I mean, could you imagine Nick Saban being the general manager of Alabama football? I mean, that would be, whether he would do it or not, I don't know, because it sounds like the GM is going to be handling, or a lot of them will typically be handling, contracts and NIL and all of that sort of thing. But I do think it's heading in that direction.
And going back to what Ed mentioned about with almost getting that security blanket as a quarterback now and then trying to go get somebody, I think if you're Auburn right now, you want to get somebody on campus as early as possible to try and get them to go ahead and be established in the offense. Let it be that big-time three-man race with Walker White, Deuce Knight, and X, because I think the longer you wait, the more of a risk you play. Nothing against the kid at all, but it was clear that Peyton Thorne was not the number one choice for Auburn a couple of years ago, and you didn't get a couple of those names, and you had to settle for going and getting somebody that you thought could run the program well enough. And you heard all about how, you know, he was the late addition, wasn't able to get all of the practice in the spring and everything like that. I think getting somebody on campus right now is crucial, whether it be one of those two, whether it be somebody late, whether it be, you know, with the dates changing for teams that are playing in bowl games right now. I think getting somebody on campus that you fully expect to have a shot at getting the QB1 job is so, so important, because if you try and wait for that next opportunity, or if you get somebody that you think is decent enough, but you want to go get somebody else that's big, we talk all about it, and you've heard so many coaches talk about it, shying away from competition, not necessarily wanting to go somewhere where you're not guaranteed that starting job. You're playing a whole lot of risk factors and hoping that you get that flush on the river, but Freeze did that over these past 2 years, and you can see that there was nothing to come out of it.
We'll take our final break, come back and wrap up hour number one, and launch ourselves into hour number two here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. A reminder, coming up in hour number two, we'll have Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC join us at 3:30. We're going to talk scheduling to start the second hour as well. And while the Bill Belichick news has really shaken up college football, there's been some other coaching moves. We talked about some of the coordinators, right? Previous Auburn coaches becoming coordinators. Another one that happened today that's got everybody kind of questioning and scratching their head. How about Dan Mullen, former Florida coach, Mississippi State coach, SEC Network contributor for quite some time? He is now another head coach, and he's heading to Las Vegas. Vegas, baby! That's right. Dan Mullen is the new head coach at UNLV. Talk about a weird hire. Somebody texted me today, and they said, when I think Las Vegas, I don't think Dan Mullen.
No.
And I kind of agree, not that he's going to be partying it up at the slots every night. Maybe he will, I don't know. But, yeah, UNLV hiring Dan Mullen. Here we go again. This is a very NBA hire, National Basketball Association hire. And I say that because you see it happen in the NBA every single year. There's a team and an organization that finds somebody, and they say, let me look at your resume, sir. Oh, you were fired here, you were fired here, and you were fired here. Oh, you didn't win very many games at those places. Is that why they fired you? Oh, okay. We can change that. We can fix you.
We love it. You're hired.
Boom, you got me. Take my money. We want you as our next head coach. Like, why is that a thing? And I have nothing against Dan Mullen. I don't know him. I've talked to him in via media things. But, like, I have nothing against him. It's just, what about it at this point do you look at Dan Mullen and say, that's the answer to our football problems?
Yeah, went 103-61 in his 13 years at Mississippi State and Florida. And I guess nothing's been completely signed yet, but listed as a 5-year deal and it should be signed in the near future.
We'll see how it goes. Dan Mullen is heading to Vegas to be the next head coach at UNLV. All right, that's it for hour number one. Stick around. Hour two coming up. We're talking Auburn's 2025 football schedule. Plus, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us as well. That's coming up in hour number two.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during the Thursday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can catch up with the podcast. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We post that for you every day, us and The Drive. You can find both shows on our podcast center. You can also listen live to the show there at ESPNAU.com every day if you need that. Or you can download the Radio Alabama app. That's how you listen to all of our wonderful stations and sports and everything like that. So be sure that you've got that downloaded and check out the first hour of the show at ESPNAU.com. It was Christian Griffin and I. We talked about the transfer portal. Had good quarterback debate, good quarterback conversation. Also talked about the massive coaching changes happening right now in college football. Bill Belichick to North Carolina, Dan Mullen to UNLV, big name coordinators now being hired everywhere. So that was all in hour number one. Here in hour number two, we're going to talk the Auburn football schedule that was released last night for 2025, a schedule that I have continued to label as tough but gettable is the way that I'm describing it. And we're going to dive deep into that here in just a couple of minutes. We're also going to be joined by Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, who's with me every single Thursday at 3:30. We'll talk to him about the SEC championship game last weekend, about the college football playoff, and his thoughts on the portal and coaching changes so far. Before we get into content, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during my show On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the second hour of my show from 3 to 4 o'clock each and every day right here on ESPN. Phone lines are open in this hour until we get to Chris Gordy, so we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. You can always shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Definitely want to hear your thoughts on the Auburn football schedule that was released yesterday for Auburn in 2025. Auburn's schedule, again, I think it is tough. But manageable, tough, but gettable. It is one that I think Auburn fans should be excited about, and one that Auburn as a team and a program, and especially Hugh Freeze, should be planning on taking advantage of. Christian, your thoughts on that before we fully go through it and break it down?
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. If you can make it to the open date on October 4th, where that's kind of where everything goes, that will determine Auburn season, that will determine Coach Freeze's tenure. if he's able to finish everything out, because I think you need to get off to a hot start. You can't afford even three losses in the first five or six games of the season. I think, as you mentioned, it's difficult. It's favorable. The back half is more favorable than the front half, which is something that you don't usually see. But having Georgia and Alabama at home, you have the bye week before Mercer, which then leads you up to Alabama. I don't think you hate that by any means. I think you could. I mean, I think you would take it. I think if you were given this schedule and said, "This is," would you be okay with this? I think you would 100% take it, given where you have to go, the games you have at home, and the time that you're playing a bunch of them as well.
We had an idea of what Auburn's schedule was going to look like in terms of the opponents, right? Because we knew that Auburn was going to play the same opponents next year as they did this year. There was a common misconception that it was going to be in the exact same order that it was a year ago, and I fell into that trap for a while and then found out that that was not the case. And so we didn't know exactly what the schedule was going to look like. And you're right. It is very top-heavy in the first 6 weeks of the year compared to what the back half looks like. And that is almost opposite of what Auburn had this year, right? And this was the point I made earlier with my sit-down with Doug Amos on the Max Roundtable. I said, look, Auburn had a favorable schedule the first 5 weeks of the year. You didn't leave the town of Auburn. You did not go anywhere, but yet Auburn couldn't take advantage of it. Auburn still fell flat on their face in a favorable first half of the schedule. It's now flipped to where next year you start out not bad your first three games, but then you hit a pretty brutal stretch, 3 games in 4 weeks, of at Oklahoma, at A&M, and Georgia at home, right? But you said it. If Auburn can find a way, not survive, Hugh Freeze is not in survive mode anymore. Hugh Freeze is in go-get-em mode now. And by no means am I a fan, I'm very vocal about this, a fan of firing coaches midseason. I hate that. I don't see what you get from that a whole lot of times. But you said it really well. You follow that October 11th game, and if Auburn is 3-3 or worse, his time may be done right then and there. They may not let him coach the game against Missouri. More thoughts on that. Let's read through the schedule here really quickly. You open up Saturday, August 30th at Baylor. That is part of a home-and-home that the Tigers are going to be playing. Baylor will return the following year. Remember, Auburn did it against Cal. You had one against UCLA. That is no longer on the schedule. Is the Miami one still intact? Is Auburn still playing Miami in, what would that be, 27-28? Is that one still there? You can try to look that up for me if you don't mind. Because Auburn had California, Baylor, Miami, UCLA. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, 29-30. A home and home. It will be.
There used to be a list out there somewhere of Auburn's like non-conference home and homes that they had.
Auburn
scheduled.
Will go to Miami September 1st, 2029, and will host the Hurricanes on August 31st, 2030.
Okay. When was the UCLA series? Was that the 20? Because this is 25-26. Was
UCLA
that going to
be
27-28? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got you. So that one is no longer there, but it is what it is. So for this schedule, Saturday, August 30th, Auburn will open up at Baylor there in Waco. They will then return and they'll play Ball State and South Alabama at home. That is September 6th and September 13th. Then it gets real. Auburn goes to Oklahoma Saturday, September 20th, and to Texas A&M Saturday, September 27th. All right, at Baylor, home for Ball State, home for South Alabama, at Oklahoma, and at Texas A&M. You then get a bye week before you come home and play the Georgia Bulldogs. You host them inside of Jordan-Hare. That is Saturday, October 11th. You host Missouri the next Saturday on October 18th. You go to Arkansas on Saturday, October 25th. You come back home and play against Kentucky on Saturday, November 1st. You play at Vandy Saturday, November 8th. Bye week that you mentioned before Mercer at home and Alabama at home for the Iron Bowl. The thing that jumps out to me here, Christian, unfortunately for Auburn fans, your first real good home game is not until October 11th when Georgia comes to town. Because your first five games only two of them are at home, and they're your cupcake games against Ball State and South Alabama. So I hate that for the fans. You've got to wait, what is that, 2, 4, 6 weeks of the college football season, 7 if you count the week leading up to it, before you can actually get to see a really good home game inside of Jordan-Hare.
It's weird because, again, you mentioned it to where the calendar or the schedule didn't completely flip with the calendar moving to the next football season, but in a weird way, it still is kind of the same way, to where rather than having your first 5 home games this upcoming year, again, you have to wait until October 11th, where Georgia is the very first home game of the season. That's really meaningful, your first conference game. And so, again, if you're able to take care of business up to that open date, Jordan-Hare would be electric, with that being the first time that fans are really getting to see Auburn play a quality team at home.
Your SEC home games are only 4: Georgia, Missouri, Kentucky, and Bama. Like, that's not a great home slate. It's not in terms of just seeing great football, you hope, but that's a gettable home slate. That's an attackable home slate.
And more importantly, 2 of those 4 games are obviously 2 of your biggest rivals, Georgia and Alabama. And in between those games, you go to Fayetteville and you go to Nashville. Those are 2 places that you don't necessarily fear in the SEC, right? I mean, you hear all about College Station. Even Norman will be a really good environment, those being Week 4 and Week 5. But with those games away, where you're at Arkansas and at Vanderbilt, in between Georgia, Missouri, Kentucky, Mercer, and Alabama, again, that's the bottom half of your schedule. Mm-hmm. If those are your road games, you're not necessarily shaking when you get on the plane because of the environment that you expect to be there inside that stadium.
And I mean, Auburn's had great success in Fayetteville and in Nashville. I mean, Alabama lost in Nashville, but Alabama didn't lose to Vanderbilt on the road because they were on the road. They lost that game because Vanderbilt beat them. I mean, Tennessee went there in the final game of the year and had 75% of the crowd. So I look at this too, and you look at the placement of the bye weeks, right? With 2 bye weeks now in college football, this year being the first year, right? This was the first year we had 2 bye weeks, and now you have that again next season. They couldn't have come at better times.
Not at all.
I mean, you get one coming off of back-to-back road games of Oklahoma and Texas A&M, which are going to be tough. We'll talk about in a second. You get your bye week after those, 5 games into the season before Georgia comes to town. So you get 2 weeks to not just recover, but also prepare. Then your other bye week is after 5 straight games, those being SEC games, where you have, you'd like to say, 3 weeks to recover and prepare for Alabama. The bye week, Mercer, and the week of Alabama. Like, those 2 bye weeks, you really could not have hand-placed them better for Auburn in terms of where you would want them to be for recovery and for preparation.
And that's why we talked about it, where, again, it is a very tough schedule, but I think if you were given it, I don't think there'd be too many things that you would move around, just simply because, again, you go to Baylor, then you get 2 home games where you get to figure some things out, maybe get a little bit of mojo, get some confidence. Hopefully, you're coming back after South Alabama and traveling to Oklahoma 3-0. And if you can win both games at home, or even one of the 2, or on the road, one of the 2 at Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, you hit the bye week, give yourself 2 weeks to prepare for your rival. Again, that's that October 4th date. We talked about it again with this past year, where if Auburn can be 4-1 going into Georgia, if Auburn could be 5-0, where there were talks about that legitimately being a possibility as you head into Georgia. Again, the open date in Georgia is kind of the 2 dates that you circle, to where you look at it, okay, where is this team at? Through Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama, at Oklahoma, and at Texas A&M. Your 3 road games, you expect to win both inside Jordan-Hare. But again, I mean, if you're hitting that open date at 2-3 or 3-2 and then a loss to Georgia, you're sitting there at 3-3 as you hit October 18th. I don't think you like where you're at if you're Auburn. But if you can find yourself 4-1, 5-0, and then you hit Georgia, whatever the final score that may be, then you hit that road stretch of Missouri, or you hit the stretch in your season, Missouri at Arkansas, Kentucky at Vanderbilt. Those 4 games right there are all very winnable. And then all of a sudden, you hit your open date and have weeks to prepare for Alabama.
The only time you go back-to-back road games is Oklahoma and Texas A&M. Other than that, you don't do that. And that's what makes this a very favorable schedule. Again, look at what Auburn just went through. The month of October, you did not step inside Jordan-Hare at all. You played Georgia, bye week, and road games. And this schedule, the bye weeks really split it up nicely. I mean, they both bye weeks are, yes, they're supposed to be spread out. But I think these are great, what's the word I'm looking for? They're great evaluation points.
They're almost checkpoints.
Perfect, exactly. Same thing. They're checkpoints, evaluation points. You can sit in the bye week and say, okay, let's assess where we are. And for Auburn, let's break it up. Let's do that now. Let's break it up and look at this. Tell you what, let's do that when we get back. We'll take a break. We'll do that when we come back, because I have a point I want to make, a trap that we fell into a year ago that I refuse to let myself fall into this year. More on that with scheduling conversation when we come back here in hour number two on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I am Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. Appreciate you being with us here on the show. As we continue talking Auburn football schedule that was released yesterday. Was that yesterday? Or was that Tuesday? That was yesterday, right?
Sure.
I can't remember. My days are all running together. Auburn's 2025 schedule has been released, and so has everybody else's. And we're going to talk to Chris Gordy about that coming up in just a few minutes of Locked On SEC. Want to get his thoughts as we look around other schedules. But we were talking about for Auburn, right, and breaking this schedule up based off the bye weeks. And you were saying during the break, the math doesn't completely work out, but breaking it up in uneven thirds.
Right. Yeah.
Uneven thirds is the best way to say it. Five games, and two games. Mercer and Alabama at the end. And that's how I feel a lot of people are going to view this, and they're going to say, okay, Auburn should do this in the first third, this in the second third, and this in the third third if they want to have a successful season. And I said going to break, there is a trap that I'm going to do my best to not fall into as hard this year, and that's saying what I think Auburn should do and giving full predictions and getting my hopes up until I see something happen on the field. Because, look, we've been burned way too many times, and until we see that proof of concept and see who the quarterback's going to be and who the offensive line is protecting him and the receivers on the outside and picking up more linebackers, which Auburn has done already in the transfer portal, got a commitment this week. I mean, I just need to see more before I have that conversation legitimately in December. But it's okay to have that conversation right now to at least say, if you want 9 wins, you need to do this. If you want 10 wins, you need to do this. If you want 8 wins, or if you want to be fired, you do this. I mean, those conversations are okay, I think.
They are. And again, it goes back to when you're talking about making your full record prediction here in December. It's a little inappropriate, just because not only do you not know that much about Auburn or whoever your team may be, but the other team's on your schedule as well.
That's
right?
A great
point,
what
is Oklahoma going to look like next year? What is Arkansas going to look like with KJ Jefferson back at quarterback? Did you see that?
What?
KJ Jefferson is going back to Arkansas to play his senior year.
Are you serious?
How
did I miss that?
So after being at Arkansas, he went with Gus Malzahn to UCF and is transferring back to the Hogs to play his fifth year.
What? Oh, wow. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Like, 100% positive?
I mean,
cite your sources. Quote,
now you're making...
Cite your sources, man. I believe you. I just haven't seen it. And I don't know, man. That's crazy. That's insane. If that is...
Give me a minute. Hold on.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? Are you about to get caught out on the air? Or am I about to get caught out
on
the air?
Here we go.
Did you get fooled? Did you get... Uh-oh. Christian got. You got.
The fan account got me.
Oh, no.
Yep. There it is.
Oh, no. Oh, you got.
The Elon Musk. The Elon Musk fan response finally got, yeah.
Oh, it happens to the best of us.
It does.
Man.
That hurts, too, because the count has over, like, it has thousands of followers,
man,
too.
Man, that's the Not Sports Center account that is on Twitter, too.
That is, yeah.
That's unfortunate. Because
there's whoever did this, respect to him.
I believe that you got God. I know.
Went full out.
That's a legit graphic, too.
Said, yeah. With that being said, it's time to fulfill my dreams, and my dreams wouldn't be complete without one more year on the hill. Go Hogs. Man, okay. Well,
wow. Because I saw something earlier about Arkansas that said that it was a reaction to Talen Green returning to Arkansas as QB1. So Talen Green is still going to be the quarterback there, no matter what Christian Griffin says on the radio. Talen Green. But your point still stands.
Just not as much.
Right? Yeah, you can leave. It's okay. I'm just kidding.
That's fair.
Your point still stands, though, about we just don't know who these teams are going to be or what they're going to look like come August, September, and especially October and November.
To be fair, I guarantee there were people listening that saw the Cam Coleman transfer portal post, and they got their heart racing a little bit in there.
That's true. That's true. Yes. We had people ask about it.
But, yes, it still goes back to you don't know what your team is going to look like, nor do you know what any of these other teams are going to look like.
He's rattled.
Is Arkansas going to look like? What is Vanderbilt going to look like now that Diego Pavia tried to sue the NCAA to get another year of eligibility and they declined it?
Good. Out of college football.
But what are these teams going to look like? What is your team going to look like? You still don't know. But if you break that schedule into uneven thirds, you play five games, have a bye week. You play five games, have a bye week. And then you have Mercer and Alabama. I think the toughest stretch that you have is that first slate, that first third that you play, because it's at Baylor, who we talked about over the break, is going to be a much better team than a majority of people kind of realize. It's a team that you know the name of and you know their history. You know that they have been pretty good, but then you haven't really heard anything about them over the past couple of years. But then Ball State, Alabama, and I think at Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, that's going to be a telltale sign of what this team really has to offer. And then the beginning of that slate number two with Georgia and Missouri, both at home. But, I mean, if you can go 4-1, 4-1, 1-1, at worst, it's a 9-win season. And so I don't think, again, you would hate where you're at.
Yeah, and that starts to bring up the questions that we'll have and discuss all offseason long about what is the number that will keep Hugh Freeze on the Plains, right? What will keep his job? And Doug asked me this today, and again, it's going to be something we discuss all season. I don't know if 8-4 is good enough, Christian. I don't know if 8 wins would keep him here, especially if 2 of those 4 losses are to Georgia and Alabama again. If you go 8-4 and you let Georgia and Alabama walk into Jordan-Hare and beat you again and continue their long streaks over you, that'd be, what, 6 in a row for Alabama? I can't even keep up what it is for Georgia right now. I mean, that would not be good. That would not be good. And that may be enough for Auburn to really start looking elsewhere if 8-4 is what Auburn puts on the field next year with losses to Georgia and Alabama.
And I think it's such a weird topic of conversation, because as much as you don't want to think about it, it's still very, very much true that 8-4 can look so many different ways.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can win your first 6 games and then all of a sudden go 2-4 in the final one, and you feel like, oh, all of a sudden, like, you don't really know what's happening with your team. And then say that you're 8-4 with wins over Georgia and Alabama, I think you like where you're at a little bit more than if you beat this team and lost to this team. There's so many different ways to look at, so many different ways to feel about a final record going on your resume.
The problem with 8-4 is that is the first true watermark. Four losses is the first true sign of you are not in. You're out, right? You are not in the discussion of the college football playoff, because we had three lost teams this year. Bama, South Carolina. Those teams were in the discussion on Sunday morning.
Right.
But they were not in. But they were still a part of the discussion. I don't think 8-4 does it for Freeze. I really don't. I think 8-4, if they're the wrong losses, I think Auburn will move on.
And especially because 8-4 was relatively the expectation for this year, right?
Exactly.
To where it's almost like you can't sit there and say, yeah, well, we met our expectations for what we were supposed to do last year, right? I mean, you're supposed to continue to hit that next step in the staircase. So if all of a sudden you're just kind of sitting on the same one and you take that tiny step up where you feel like this should be the team, especially with this schedule where you're expecting to make that bigger step, if it doesn't necessarily happen and you just meet the expectations for the prior year, that's when the frustration really comes out.
It's like running a race, and if you fall behind early, just because you make up ground doesn't mean you're back on pace. You have to make up extra ground for the ground you lost at the beginning, right? If you have to stop and tie your shoe just because you catch up with a third, doesn't mean you're back where you needed to be. You have to make up the ground you lost. And Hugh Freeze has to do that with Auburn in year three, because year two did not go the way it was supposed to. You're absolutely right.
Spoken like a true cross-country runner
right there. You better believe it. You better believe it, man. I was as average as they come. All right, we're talking Chris Gordy.
Can we ask him about KJ Jefferson?
You would throw him off so bad. It would be news to him just like it was to me. We'll see if Chris Gordy's heard about KJ going back to Fayetteville? Just kidding. That's not true. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and excited to have this guy back on the show with us each and every Thursday at 3:30. You can catch him every single day on the audio version or on YouTube, the daily podcast talking about the Southeastern Conference. He is the host of Locked On SEC, Chris Gordy. What's up, Chris? How are you, man, in this busy, busy time?
Yeah, man, it's a busy time. I mean, like, it was funny. I completely forgot yesterday afternoon. Somebody reminded me, oh, yeah, by the way, for 2025 comes out tonight. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, granted, we knew the opponents. You just didn't know the dates of when they would be. So we found that out. We've got the portal madness going on day by day. I mean, it's a crazy time.
Well, we're going to get to all of that on the show today with with the time that we have with you. And I do want to flash back just a little bit. Don't want to dive super deep into the SEC championship game, since, I mean, the winner was in and the loser was in. I mean, that was kind of what happened here. But Georgia does win. They get the automatic bye. And Texas is now hosting Clemson in the college football playoff. Your reaction to the game itself, and then the bracket being released with some SEC teams in, but others on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, if you had told me that Georgia was going to lose their, lose their starting quarterback at halftime and, you know, that Texas was going to have a halftime lead, I would have said, well, Texas, they're going to win this one. And yet, they came out that second half and started running the football more productive with Trevor Etienne. And I thought Gunnar Stockton did a pretty good job of managing the game. All things considered, the last interception, you would have liked to have not had that one. But, yeah, I mean, it was funny. I mean, we knew Kelvin Banks, the left tackle for Texas, was out. But I thought their O-line did a pretty good job of blocking and giving Quinn Ewers time in the first half. And then what we saw in the second half was, you know, we started to see that defensive line kind of over-pursue and come up the backside of Quinn, forcing him to step up into the pocket. And that's exactly what Georgia wanted. As soon as he stepped up into the pocket, here came Michael Williams Walker crashing from the inside and getting those sacks, which is kind of a retelling of the first time around in Austin. So, yeah, no surprise. Georgia was my pick to win the SEC before the season. They were my preseason pick to win the national championship. So we'll see. They're still alive for that one, although it's sounding like they're going to have to do it without Carson Beck. So we'll see. But, yeah, pretty cool consolation prize for Texas, though. You lose to the same team for the second time in a season. And, hey, you get to host a playoff game in 2 weeks in your house. So kind of cool, consolation prize for Texas. But yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of people arguing, you know, should we do some more with these conference championship games? Because, you know, ultimately, did they really mean a lot if both the winner and loser were both in the playoff? So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, certainly for Clemson, we know, I mean, they had to win it to get in, and they did. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, no big surprise that Georgia was able to outlast Texas.
We'll have a chance to talk to you next week in more detail about the games that the SEC is involved in with Texas and Clemson, Tennessee, Ohio State, and then, of course, Georgia getting the winner of Indiana and Notre Dame. But do you like the SEC's chances as of right now with the Carson Beck news and Texas being so one-dimensional and Tennessee having to go to Columbus after what I thought was a pretty good season? Do you like the SEC's chances right now of winning the national championship, or do you think the field should be the favorite?
Well, I mean, I think any of these three teams could get hot and do it. I mean, I still think Georgia's your best chance. Texas, you know, favorable matchup. I mean, that line came out. It opened with them at about a 11.5, 12-point favorite at home against Clemson. I mean, they should win that one. I think Penn State got the easiest path. What is it? It's SMU and then Boise.
Yeah, what a joke.
To get to the Final Four. I mean, yeah, who did James Franklin pay off for that draw? But you know, I think Tennessee's got the toughest road to hoe. I mean, they got to go up to Ohio State and win a road game in the horseshoe. And then your reward for doing that is you get to play number one Oregon on a neutral field. I mean, that's about as tough as it gets for Josh Heupel and company. So, yeah, I mean, if I was a betting man, I would still say, you know, both Georgia and Texas have a great chance to make a run, but there's a reason why Oregon is the number one team. I mean, they're the odds on favorite, and they should be.
All right, so as we're talking college football playoff SEC, want to continue on, Chris, because for the teams that are, yes, in the portal, but also the teams that are in the playoff, but the teams that are not in the playoff, the transfer portal is wide open. Opened up on Monday, we're just into the fourth day, and it's just a free-for-all, right? Free agency has gone off the rails, and teams are paying just millions and millions of dollars. Have you heard anything that has kind of blown your mind or anything that the people need to know about in terms of additions or losses around the Southeastern Conference?
Well, I know, just keep an eye on the Auburn situation. We know that they want, you know, they're very active in the quarterback market. You know, this is sounding like a two-horse race between Auburn and Mississippi State for Jackson Arnold, the Oklahoma quarterback. And I found it interesting a few days ago, the On3 guys put out a prediction that Jackson Arnold was going to go to Mississippi State and reunite with Jeff Lebby, who was his OC at Oklahoma. And then, you know, the report came out yesterday. It said, well, not so fast. Auburn is still very much in this, and he's going to go visit Auburn. So, you know, you start to read between the lines there and say, oh, bidding war. You know, Auburn's offering money, Mississippi State's offering money, and, you know, they're going back and forth. I know there was also the report that, Auburn was in the driver's seat for the Stanford quarterback, mm-hmm. And when you look at his stats, you go, ew. I mean, it was Peyton Thorne 2.0. But Hugh Freeze wants to just add quality guys to that room. It's not necessarily bringing in Stanford quarterback to come be the starter. I've also heard, you know, initial reports were, oh, they're not interested in Caden Salter. And then I heard again 2 days ago that don't count out Caden Salter for Auburn, that he's still, you know, there's still interest there. And then I've also heard that maybe there is a tie with the LSU wide receiver C.J. Daniels, who mm-hmm. came from Liberty, that he might be a package deal with Caden Salter if they were both to go to Auburn. So, yeah, I mean, this thing is fluid and changes day by day, but there's no doubt. I mean, this is literally last night we hear Garrett Nussmeier announces he's coming back to LSU for another year, and today Taylen Green announces he's coming back to Arkansas for another year. You combine that with the rest of the SEC. We know Arch Manning will be at Texas. We know, DJ, Nico at Tennessee will be there. We know – yeah, we look around the SEC and we start to go, oh, okay, well, all these teams know who their quarterback is. And we're all looking back at Auburn going, what you got? So I think imperative on Hugh Freeze and his staff to land the right guy. And again, I like Jackson Arnold a lot. I know some people might not be excited about it. I heard some people saying last night maybe Malik Murphy at Duke could be in play as well. So I just think, it does, to me at this point, it doesn't matter who it is. They just I need to add two or three reliable, trustworthy quarterbacks to that room because they've got to be better at that spot in 2025.
Is it fair to say that Auburn is the team in the Southeastern Conference that has the most to gain in the transfer portal? I mean, has to go get some dudes, yes, but just has the most to gain and get better in the transfer portal this offseason?
Yeah, because they've recruited well. Like, you really like these recruiting classes they've had, you know, the last 2 years and this year, but you've got to put talent around them. It used to be, yeah, you just killed it on the recruiting circuit and that talent. You've got the big-time stud freshman wide receivers. You've got to have somebody to get them the football. I mean, it can't be a five-star, you know, like it can't be, well, Deuce Knight, we hope he develops, or Walker White. Like, no, you've got to win now. Like, Hugh Freeze is in the win now mode now. So you have to go get somebody to pair with these young, talented players that you've recruited. And you've got to win games next year. I'm sorry, 6-6 or worse is not going to get it done at Auburn next year.
You're telling us nothing we don't already know, man, in terms of the winning now. And it's year three now for Hugh Freeze going into it in 2025 with a program that he said 2025 is the year that I want. That's the one you need to pay attention to. And we'll see if he can get what he needs in the transfer portal. We're talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here on ESPN Radio in Auburn and Opelika. Speaking of 2025, you mentioned it earlier, the schedules are out for 2025, and we are ready to move on to next year here in Auburn, but some teams are not. But I do want to look at some of these and your thoughts. Have you had a chance to look at all of them, Chris, and kind of break down some of the big matchups and what's going on in these schedules for next year?
Yeah, we ran through them on today's Locked On SEC, and you know, it's not that crazy because, like I said, we already knew who the opponents were. You know, they stayed the same, the conference opponents stayed the same from this year to next year. It's just, you know, home and away flips, but I was a little taken aback by some of the non-conference games that I didn't realize. You know, Alabama opens at Florida State. Obviously, they're a mess right now, but, you know, we'll see what they do to get their team better. But Alabama will be working in a new quarterback, and the room for error, Kalen DeBoer, you don't get any room for error next year. Like, you better go at least 10-2, or they're going to be firing you. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. Oh, Arkansas hosts Ole Miss. Like, I think in, like, week four or something, it's really – I'm sorry, host Notre Dame. Like, I was like, Notre Dame is going to Fansville, like, 4 weeks into the season? That's a really weird one. Ole Miss hosts Washington State. That one, like, came out of – I'm like, in like, the middle of the season. I thought that was kind of interesting. So, yeah, some of the non-con games caught me. But overall, I thought – I was talking with my Tennessee friend last night. Like, their schedule's still tough. But I like how their schedule sets up. Like, it's kind of like – you know, I hate to say this about teams because we don't know fully what they look like, but, like, just look at a Tennessee schedule, you go, okay, tough game, winnable game, tough game, winnable game. Like, that's what you want to see. What you don't want to see is, and we saw this with a bunch of teams on their schedules, like, there are teams that go a month without playing a true home game.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is just nutso because you're asking so much of your team to stay together and continuity and not, you know, not have a slip up. Like, you know, that's going to be tough for some teams. I think it's I want to say it's Texas. Like, the whole month of October, they go without a game in Austin. I thought that was really unusual. So
how terrible would that be? I mean, poor Texas not playing a home game in October. We have no idea what that feels like here in Auburn, Chris.
Yeah, well, and on top of it, they got to go play at Georgia this year. So good luck with that one. Having to go, you know, beat a team that you just can't seem to beat at all. So that'll be an interesting one. And then I think the other one that jumped out to me, Mizzou has like five straight home games to open the season, which is nice. But I think like four of their last six games are all on the road. So I don't know what Eli Drinkwitz was thinking with that schedule. But yeah, it's I don't know, just some weird schedule quirks out there across the SEC next year.
Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. Tell the folks where they can find it, what you have going on with the portal and the schedules and the playoff. And there's no shy. I know you're not talking basketball yet, right?
Not yet, but I do. I'm keeping an eye on Auburn. I like the Ohio State matchup this weekend. I like the Purdue matchup the week after. And then, look, 2 weeks after that, they'll be hosting Mizzou to open SEC playoff. So
yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that look at the KenPom rankings. I mean, the SEC is just absolutely loaded this year. It's going to be a dogfight. I think debating with some people yesterday, I think four losses probably gets you top dog in the SEC this year. So That'll be interesting to see as it plays out. But yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. We got some great interviews from the Lombardi Award last night. We posted today our one-on-one interview with Kyle Kennard, who was named SEC Defensive Player of the Year. So that was a lot of fun. And then tomorrow's show, we'll have our conversations with Kelvin Banks, the offensive lineman from Texas, and Will Campbell, the O-lineman from LSU. They were both named first-team All-SEC selections as well. So check that out, Locked On SEC.
Chris, we appreciate you, my man. Always enjoy talking to you and got such great information. People can check you out, Locked On SEC audio or video on YouTube every single day. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Yeah, man. Next week, I think we'll be talking Auburn will have a quarterback. So that'll be fun to discuss.
Yes, it will. I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun talking about that, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, Steve.
That's Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check him out wherever you get your podcast, audio or video on YouTube as well. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joining us as he does every Thursday. We did not have Brad Law today. We'll pick back up with him next week. But Christian and I have had a lot of fun on the show today talking transfer portal, talking quarterbacks, talking coaching, talking schedules. I mean, we went over a lot today on the show. And so if you missed any of the show today, you can go and catch up with the podcast version of the show. We take the audio from the show and put it on our station website for you at ESPNAU.com. We are coming back tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line, where we talk about literally anything. Packed house. Are you here tomorrow? You here tomorrow? Okay, cool. I think Uncle T-Bone will be in here as well. We'll have a full
house. It
depends
if I'm allowed back after...
Yeah, has KJ Jefferson announced his transfer destination yet?
I don't think so yet, but if he does, I'll be sure to let you know.
I bet you will. I bet you will. Yeah, so tomorrow it'll be free-for-all Friday. Just to give you a heads up on the show schedule for the next several weeks. Let me pull up a calendar so I give you the accurate information here.
That's all we give here on this show. Only accurate information.
And yeah, accurate, the truth, and the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what we give on this program. Christian will not be back.
I'm just early, and he is going to transfer back.
Could you imagine?
That would be
if
fantastic.
You broke that news accidentally, we would claim that till the end of time. We would not post any audio.
Nope.
We would not have it recorded. We would take just that clip. We'll say, this was from Thursday, December 12th. We broke it on this show a week before anybody else did.
Yep.
You don't know
where we get our insight from.
Is he going to transfer again, like actually with Gus Malzahn not being there anymore? Have they had massive transfer like exits with Malzahn leaving for Florida State? I don't keep
not
up
really.
With
they
UCF.
Got Thomas Castellanos from Boston College to go down to Florida State. And there is confirmed now that Gus Malzahn will call plays for Florida State. And again, Florida State and Alabama play week one.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Oh, my goodness. We got a phone call. Let's get to this really quick. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with? Hello?
KJ Jefferson?
KJ, is that you? Hello? Hey, you're on the line. Who are we speaking with? All right, well, we tried. Okay, so to give you, is Free-for-All Friday started already? Show schedule for the next couple of weeks. Show tomorrow, normal show all next week, 16th through the 20th, Monday through Friday. Nothing different there. We do have a women's basketball game for Auburn on Wednesday, so no Max Roundtable then. I'll be running that. We'll come right into the show on Wednesday. But for us, for my show and the drive, nothing changes next week. The week of Christmas, all right, 23rd through the 27th, no shows for us. Believe the Max Roundtable will be on that Monday, the 23rd, but we will not have shows here locally in Auburn, the 23rd through the 27th. We will then come back on the line. We'll be on the air that Monday the 30th. That will be with Christian and Uncle T-Bone. I will be out of town, but they are going to have you locked down. The Drive will be back that Monday. Then no shows on Tuesday the 31st, Wednesday the 1st. Everybody back to normal 100% on Thursday the 2nd, because we got a lot going on right after that. High school basketball ramps back up, college basketball and conference play ramps back up. We'll have the playoffs to talk about. I mean, there's going to be a lot to discuss on that 2nd, so we'll be fully back on Thursday the 2nd. So just listen to the respective shows and their host and everything. They'll tell you what you need to know about each individual show, but that's what you need to know about our show here for the next couple of weeks. And so again, if you missed any of today's show, be sure to listen to the podcast, espnau.com. It's so crazy because the portal is so wide open and it's so changing, and there's so many big names for Auburn that have been on campus, right? Auburn again picked up a linebacker earlier this week. Did we mention, I think we mentioned it, we just didn't get to it, Jack State's coach going back to West Virginia, right? He was the coach there from 01 to 07, now leaving Jack State to go back to West Virginia, and they've gotten a lot of hate for that.
They have, and the same thing with UCF and Scott Frost. After making his way up north, goes back down to Central Florida. So a couple other, or a couple coaches in there in that carousel that we said was the incorrect word for it, but a couple coaches going back to previous teams trying to get round number two started for them.
Looking up synonyms for a carousel. What is, let's see, what are some synonyms?
It'd be antonyms, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, it's still a coaching carousel. It's just an accelerated carousel. It's
a whirly
gig. Exaggerated. A what? Is that clean? Is that legal?
Yeah.
Are you sure? I don't know about all that. I don't know. I was going to look them up, but this website, that website was terrible. Four synonyms and antonyms for carousel. A roundabout? No. Oh, my God, you're right. Whirligig.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that word. Whirligig. 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 What in the world? I'm a journalism major. I've never heard of that word in my life.
It's one of the little things that spins. Like a little, the little kid's
that
toy.
That helps, yeah. One of the things that spins. You ever seen that?
But it spins fast, that spins? So it's not like a carousel that spins slow.
The coaching whirligig. Oh, my goodness. What? I've never
heard
of that.
You got to find one before.
Example sentences. We've got, nope, that's not good. Now, two teams have independently uncovered key details of how the most agile species ripple, what? The fastest one whirligigs through the water. What in the world? Whirligigs. Word of the day. Word of the week. How about that?
Something for tomorrow's show.
No, it's not. That'll never be spoken again. All right, we got to go. We got a company Christmas party we got to get to. We're back tomorrow for Free for All Friday, 2 to 4, here on ESPN 106.7. Come back if you want to. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Cohen. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.